Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Where is God trying to get you and me? He wants us to ask the question, what is it that's worth looking at? I mean, John was a pretty big marvel in their day. Why was he a marvel? He was a marvel because he was a nobody. And all of a sudden he starts preaching in one or two, and somebody says, you got to go here. He's just preaching. Come here. And then they started preaching. What was the connection? Well, he looked a lot like a prophet they'd heard about and read about all their days. He looked a lot like Elijah. He was clothed in camel's hair. He ate locusts and honey, and he lived a very solitary, alone life. He was a man apart. And yet he's out there preaching, if he has to the rocks, because if they're the only ones who'll listen, that was okay for him. He was a unique man. But as time went on, people started going out. It was a curiosity. Why did they go? Why did they go? Why did they go? Because they realized there was nothing in the city worth seeing anymore. They'd seen it all. In fact, it was kind of icky. They were tired of it. They were done with it. Don't you feel like that in your world today? It's getting a little bit, it's getting a little weather-worn. It's getting a little bit disgusting, actually. It's hard to watch anything anymore without having a commercial come up. We have a doctor in Richland County who is on TV saying, get the shot. Get the shot, Ohio. Get the shot. That's a doctor in our neighborhood. You got to write a letter to him. Tell him what you think about that. I'm telling you guys, this is a thing. We're living in a day of deception, and if you can stand for the truth, it might cost you a little something, but it'll be worthy. And Jesus is trying to get us to the place where we will give an announcement of what's true. And what's true is the Bible says in the last days, God's going to send strong delusion. There's going to be a time of great deception. That the Bible says that the whole world's going to wonder at a beast, that they're going to go after a political leader, that they're going to love this political leader like nobody's business. Back in World War II, there was somebody who stood on the floor of Parliament over in England. I can't remember the guy's name, but he said, listen, give us a man. I don't care. Be it God or the devil, we will receive him. And right now, we're there. Not God save America, save America. We're living in a day where we want to have a political revival, not a spiritual revival. God forbid we have a spiritual revival. Boy, that would ruin everything. Seems to me it's going to all be ruined one way or the other anyway. We're seeing, and he says unto them, what did you go to see? What did you go to see? What did you go to see? And Jesus never asks questions for information. He asks questions for conviction. What did they go to see? You know, sometimes people go to church to see what it's all about. See if it reminds them when they were a child. See if they get a goosebump. See if something moves them. Well, if your soul isn't something you're moved about, it's because you've been inoculated by the deception of our day. The movies, the TV, the radio, the songs, the rock and roll. And when you're sitting there listening to the rock and roll and it's saying love, sex, drugs, rock and roll, all that stuff, and then you eventually get stoned and you were a little kid and you came through all of that, the next thing you know, you're kind of inoculated because you were scared, and then you weren't. The devil's all about getting you cauterized, all about getting you calloused in your heart, all about getting you numbed down. What is it Pink Floyd said? Comfortably numb. And if you're comfortably numb, then he's almost got you. Remember Phil Collins was talking about, you know, there's a fire that's burning right outside my door. I can't see, but I feel it, and it helps to keep me warm. They're living on the edge of eternity, and they're dancing on a volcano, and they're acting like it's a joke because they have been for 20, 30, 40 years, and now nothing moves them. What did you go to see? Soft raiment. What did you go to see? He says, a prophet. Yea, and I say unto you, verse 9, more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, if you don't read that slowly, you might miss it. But this is a verse that was directly written to Jesus in the Old Testament. The Father said, I send my messenger before your face, my son, which shall prepare the way for you, my son. It's going to prepare the way before thee. Do you know what that means? That means that everything the devil's got's going to be on that front line to make sure that man doesn't get through the line. John was a prophet's prophet. He was right at the cusp of the changing of the tide, the turning of the tide, the changing of the dispensation. And the Bible says that God gave him a promise, and this is that guy. He's the one that prepared the way. He's the one that broke the line. Verse 11 says, "Verily I say unto you, among them born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And you're like, wait a minute. I'm kind of disoriented. But what you need to understand is that what John was, is John was greater in the sense that he had weight. And he had a great big piece of ground to cover. He was in measure and height great. And you now are greater because he did his job. You can do yours. Jesus even said, "You've seen me do miracles. Well, you're going to do greater miracles than even I did." You don't realize how powerful it is for you to be born again in the 21st century. You're walking around talking about Jesus, and these people are chasing screens. I'm watching people walk out of stores with, man, I couldn't even fit their TVs into my front living room. They're so big. They're in love with this world, and you're not. You've somehow been able to at least slide by it, you know, and not be totally falling in. You're here. Maybe just because it's getting Coronaville out there, and you're thinking, I need to get out of the way, man, something's going on. God's got to have a word. He does have a word. Jesus is coming. That's what's coming. And the Bible says that this man was vital to God's plan. Because of that, he had a great burden that he had to bear. And that was what he brought to the table. That's why he's greater than all those other prophets. Those born among women, he was the greatest of all of them. And there were some good ones, weren't there? You go back and there's Samuel and there's Elijah and Elisha. Some great prophets. Isaiah, put in a tree and saw it in half alive in a tree. I mean, we're talking about people who laid down their lives and those who of whom the world is not worthy. It says, notwithstanding, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than these. Do you see what he did there? He went right back to the same note. The note of the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here again, he's gone to a great height. It was lepers, blind, dead raised, but the main thing was souls. Here's John the Baptist taking on all the legions of hell. He was a great prophet. Everything the devil had. Why did he buckle? Why did his knees buckle? Because the demons of hell hated him. If you stand for the Lord, they will hate you. They will come and harass you. You will have night terrors once in a while, and you'll see yourself reaching for Jesus, and he'll show up right there. You need to know your book, because he says, the wicked one touches him not. You can say, I rebuke you, or you can say, Lord Jesus, help me. You just know who is yours. In the Song of Solomon, I, my beloved is mine. But it crescendos in this way. It says, I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. Do you know that's what Jesus is about you? His desire is toward you if you're his child. If you didn't read that ever, you didn't know that. See, the book of the words of the scriptures are what you have to make you to have peace. Jesus gave them peace back in chapter 10. Now he's kind of working it into the midst of the minds of those who were following him around. And this multitude, he tells that even they that are least in the kingdom are greater than John. And they're going to have to scratch their head and work that one out. Why? Because what God wants and what God loves is for people to get more insight. For people to access the deep things of God. The Bible says in verse 11 where he says that there's not a greater one that has arisen. He says, but he that is least. He goes on from there. He says in verse 12, he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violence, and the violent take it by force. You ever read that verse slowly? Think about John the Baptist. I just told you about the line. I'm giving you a metaphor of a football game, but it's worse than that. This is war. And the treasure that is under siege is your soul and the souls of others. John's in a dungeon. And you know what's funny is that he actually called out Herod for having his brother Philip's wife. Remember that? It's going to cost him his life. Herod didn't want to put him in jail. He feared John. Very interesting, right? So what do we have? We have him dealing with Herod, a would-be king in Israel, building and beautifying a temple like Solomon's, trying to rival even Solomon's. Everybody's like lit up about, wow, look at this. The man's a fornicator. What did John do? He said, you're a fornicator. And now he's in the dungeon and he's having doubts. But he was doing what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to say, fornication is wrong. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. It seems like a simple thing, but he was talking to the king. And what I'm saying to you today is in our generation, we're right there. The curtain's about ready to roll back. The heavens are about ready to open up and receive those of us who know Jesus. We're going into rapture, and then 7 years later, it's going to be all over. We're coming back. The credits are about ready to roll. And you can't tell somebody that immorality is immorality without it costing you something. You can't tell somebody that there's only two genders, potentially, that it might cost you something. You see what I'm saying? It was bustling. The gates of hell, those radical, worst of the worst demons, man, they were just shaking their bars. And Jesus could handle them handily, but John was just flesh and bone. He was just a man. He had to deal with it in a different way than Jesus did. He didn't have all of the clarity, except here he was in that dungeon when he got quiet. The worst of it was the fact that he was in the dungeon and he couldn't preach. He had to sit still and do nothing. Now, the Bible says in verse 12 that from the days of John, so something really big lit up. Can I tell you, I believe that from the days of Coronaville, we're talking about a real, honest outpouring of the demonic in our world right now. We're dealing with that right now. And if you do not have a wedding garment on, you need one because it's time to get ready for a wedding because it's about ready to be consummated. And what I'm saying to you here is, he says, it suffereth violence. Do you know the family of God suffering violence? And the Bible says, and the violent taketh it by force. That word force is the word harpazo. That's a Greek word for the rapture. But it illustrates how the rapture is going to happen. It's going to happen in haste. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen in a way that is going to be a little intense for the world to appreciate. Let me give you another place where this word is used for violence first, and then we'll go to the one with harpazo in a way that is not the rapture. Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The word presseth means it's going to take violence. Now, in this press that we're talking about here, you can envision it this way. Some people are saying, that makes total sense, I believe. And then you've got the Pharisees and the system over here pressing, trying to push everybody away. The devil's trying to push you away from God. You just think about that for a second. Think about how you have been under siege, how your world has given you grief, how they vilify you in TV, movies, how they try to uplift all of the evil to make you look stupid. If they say there's 1,500 genders, if they say that black is white, if they say day is night, night is day, you're supposed to dance. You're supposed to dance. In fact, this is the illustration he gives here in a minute. But this is how it works. They're pressing you to renounce your faith, or at least act as if you don't believe it. They're pressing you to not get in line with God. What makes Jesus thankful? Orderliness, the arrangement of things, everything being in their proper order, the announcement of things, we being the announcers. And he says they take it by force. And if I were to chase that word with you in other places, I can show it to you how it works in other places because it's like a thief. So in the Latin, it was rapturo. That's where we get the word rapture from the Latin. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.